Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a pleasant good afternoon. No adjustment to your dial is necessary. You heard that right. Mike Oss, Jeff Nowak.
You got it.
It is summer, July 11th. And then it's like the slowest kind of nothing going on. And that's when everybody takes vacation. Well, you know, television and radio or those industries.
We're here.
Do not take vacation. And so you have been
real high energy opening here.
I'm the same. Trying to explain kind of why who are these? We're at the barrel bottom. You've already been doing it.
Yeah. Well, the good news is we have our phones back. I do want to shout out Danny Miller. He worked tirelessly to get our phones working. So it won't be a repeat of yesterday. Fingers crossed. Because we're going to have a few guests. We're going to have Todd Graffinini, play-by-play guy for the Pelicans, coming on here at 4:25 to give us the lowdown on the Summer League, which I know you're super excited about, Haas.
Well, they play the Lakers tomorrow night. Yeah. Lost to Minnesota last night. 25 turnovers, kind of rough.
Fighting Bronnies.
I'm you have to kind of watch the team now. There's so many, you know, there's so many new faces. You know, I'm interested to see. I was going to ask Todd, when you think of all the things that have happened, and I don't like the word normal, but really the Herb Jones signing is about the only typical thing that has happened to this team in 5 months, 4 months.
You know, it's funny. Me and Charlie were talking yesterday during our 2.5 hour podcast on the radio about, okay, who's the next guy to get a big contract extension? And we kind of landed on Herb Jones. And, you know, we were talking about it in the abstract because, like, he's got 2 years left on his deal. He's coming off a season where he played 20 games due to shoulder injuries. Surely they're going to want to wait and see him back on the court. You know, his name had surfaced in a lot of trade rumors. I think there was still some idea that maybe they would move on from him. Nope. They locked him up through 2029, another 3 years, $68 million on that deal. And I think it's a smart move if you are committed to him because he comes back, plays all NBA, first-team defense again. That deal after next season would have been a lot more expensive. So, you know, I think what stood out to me in the Joe Dumars era so far, the short-lived Joe Dumars era to this point, has been he's being very decisive. Like, he's not sitting on the fence with certain players. He's not saying, let's see what happens. He's saying, hey, we're going to ship C.J. McCollum out of town. We're going to figure something out. We're going to get a scorer in here who can kind of fill the gap until we can get DeJounte Murray back. We're committed to Zion Williamson. We're not gonna put any question marks out in the universe. We're going to send him to the draft. We're going to make it clear that he is part of our future. And we already locked up Trey Murphy. He's under contract for the next several years. Now we're going to lock up Herb Jones and, you know, make decisive trades in the draft. Like, we want Derek Queen, we're going to go get him. I'm not a huge fan of the trade itself, but I like the idea. And we'll see how it works, right?
Well, this is a text that came in. It's a 225 out of the 225. And it says, why did the Pels cut Boston and Reeves? He's the three-point shooter you need. With Zion, he was better than Hawkins. What are they doing? Could they still re-sign? I mean, it'd be a question for Todd as well, but I'm just saying it's, you know.
Antonio Reeves is on their summer league roster, so it's not like they're cutting bait with him entirely. I think it's just a numbers game at this point. You're trying to make some things work with the trades and with the draft. Brandon Boston, I just kind of feel like, is a guy that he's a guy, right? like he was a guy that served you well last year when you desperately needed bodies. He's not going to be a rotational piece for you. You know, I don't even know where he is right now, but you know, he did get showcased, so he's probably going to land somewhere. He feels like the type of guy who's going to go and have like a long lucrative career in Europe, and we're going to be talking about him 10 years down the line, and he's going to have like a statue like Stephon Marbury does over in China. Another text came in. What do you think of Fears, Queen, and Peavy? Micah Peavy was a second-round pick. And, you know, we're going to talk a lot more about Jeremiah Fears, Derek Queen. Micah Peavy's interesting. I don't think he had a great game, but he reminds me so much of Josh Hart and the way he goes out there and just fights, and he can score at multiple levels. Not a great shooter, but I did watch him a good bit because, you know, I watch a lot of Big East basketball, and he just finds a way. Like, he reminds me of Josh Hart a lot, and there are worse things to be than kind of a try-hard Josh Hart type player.
Yeah, very much so. So we'll talk with Todd Graffinini, the Pelicans play-by-play, coming up about 4:25, and also David Seifert, the director of college scouting, D1 Baseball, the Major League Baseball draft preview. That draft begins on Sunday. We'll have, of course, our triple option at 5:45, and later in the show, we'll have Dolph Jackson. He is the host of Keeping It Real, Whodat Sports Podcast, and the founder of Come On In Sports Network. We'll talk about the Saints. And at some point throughout this 3-hour stretch, we will hear from Caleb Janazich. Ah, yes, he is the driver of Bigfoot, the Hot Wheels monster truck celebrating 50 years in action. I talked to him this morning at the Smoothie King Center. They're there this weekend. Hot Wheels are, and Jeff and I were talking about it. It's not Monster Jam. That's not competition. There's like 39 cars and vans that they just annihilate.
Yeah.
And this one is, it's called the Glow and Fire. They turn the lights off in the building, and the trucks are LED lit. The first half of the LED, and then the second half of the show is pyro. And I'm like, I said, you know, as the media relations person for this building, I don't know if I'm thrilled with the title of this show, but it's 12:30 tomorrow, 7:30 tomorrow, and 2:30 on Sunday. But he's a pretty cool guy. I mean, he's driving. So the Superdome celebrating 50 years, August 3rd, and Bigfoot, the monster truck, also celebrating 50 years.
It does amaze me how long these teams kind of stay in operation. I was out there for Monster Jam a couple months back. I can't remember exactly when I was. But, you know, I've always been partial to the let's crush some stuff monster trucks. Like, I don't need the NASCAR point system and the races and whatever and, like, let's do endo or whatever they're called. Like, I want to see some destruction. So, you know, I fully endorse that part of the equation, because that's what I grew up with. Like, I feel like I remember going with my dad and just seeing like a row of school buses get destroyed.
Right.
Well, I missed that.
I talked
that.
To the tour, and I was like, where do these cars come from? Right. They're in terrible shape, and they rent them from the, you know,
they rent them
from the pound. You know, they're getting ready to get crushed.
Yeah.
And then they're all there this morning, you know, in their natural colors. And then they paint them all yellow, green, and orange. I mean, just with a spray gun. And so right now there's 40 yellow, green, and orange vehicles. And then when it's all said and done, take them back. Crush them. You were going to crush them anyway for the steel and the material. Do that anyway.
I am always amazed to see the Superdome filled with dirt. Like, it's jarring when you walk in there, because it's amazing to me how quickly buildings like that, and it's just not just a Superdome, like it's any arena, can just turn over the surface into something that it's completely different. Like, it's not even recognizable. Like, you wouldn't even know a football team plays there if you just kind of dropped out of the
right.
sky.
But it takes a while to build. Now, obviously, I'm putting on my other hat. I'm giving you the inside scoop.
Sure.
If you want to, after the show, we can go see the dirt. The dirt lives here. They don't travel with dirt. They own dirt, keep it in New Orleans East.
So, but it's the same dirt every time?
Yeah.
They own
the dirt. Keep it in New Orleans East. Time for the show. Go get the dirt. Bring it in and lay it out. And it does take about 5-6 days to put it up. But literally, next morning afterwards, gone. Okay. Like, it didn't happen.
Now I'm going to have to check into my investment portfolio and see if I've got any dirt holdings in there.
It feels like I do. Sometimes you never know. Take a break. It's going to be quite an afternoon, as Jeff and I'll be with you until 7 o'clock again. Todd Graffinini, David Seifert, talking college baseball, Saints, you name it. We'll be talking about it. Also, give us a call, because we do have the phone lines today on our free Odyssey app. Give us a call. And we'll be talking just about anything you want to talk to today as we get ready for training camp less than 2 weeks away back after this. WWLAMFM.com, always free.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak with you here on Sports Talk, filling in here on a summer afternoon. And we're so happy Mr. Graffinini joins us from Las Vegas, Nevada. How are you doing, Todd?
Mr. Haas, I'm great, but I am not in Vegas.
I was going to ask. I thought maybe you would stayed on the home front. But you are paying attention, I assume.
We got back from Ireland about a week and a half ago. And, of course, as both of you well know, Saints training camp starts in less than 2 weeks, which, of course, I will be covering on a daily basis both here and in California. So, going out to Vegas, that would have been a little bit too much. Don't know if the wife would have really agreed with that one very much. So, yes, I am here. But, yes, did watch the game. Obviously, it's in its entirety yesterday, and I'll be watching the next three as well.
Yeah, no, Todd, I always say, you know, it's exciting to go out to camp, but the real excitement is we get to hang out with Todd. He comes over from the Pelicans building, and he says all this stuff about kickers. You always keep great notes on the kicking competition. I always appreciate that about you.
No, it's, you know, we're one of the, you know, we're some of the chosen few, you two and myself and others who cover the team that literally are at every single practice. I mean, I had perfect attendance last year, so of course we were in Irvine for 29 days, and I'll have perfect attendance again this year. So, yep, but it's almost here, and that's hard to believe.
I know. July 22nd is the introductory press conference, and then practice with the Shells on the 23rd. But I can't remember when it was last year. It had to be somewhere during the preseason when you were like, you flip at some point. You go, all right, I'm ready for basketball. When are we going to camp? Because you're, I think Nashville, wherever it was. You're like, okay, let's go. I'm ready.
I know exactly when it was. I'll tell you when I flipped is when we found out that the 49ers weren't coming in for joint practices. That was the day it turned.
Todd went to that fully. That's it. Pelicans. Move on. Let's go. So Jeff, when we were talking earlier in the show, he said it's hard to put an adjective to it, but how would you describe what has been short but aggressive Joe Dumars' stint?
I think that's the perfect adjective. I think it's aggressive, Mike. Look, you know, obviously the injury situation last year was not ideal whatsoever. I mean, you know, you didn't know it at the time, but you had an idea. But pretty much 3 weeks into the season a year ago, it was over. I mean, you had 4/5 of our starting lineup were out. And, you know, you had guys that were supposed to be in Birmingham playing 30, 35 minutes a night because they had to. We were just completely undermanned most of the season and really never recovered. And yes, you know, they're never going to say injuries were an excuse, but it was a huge reason why the Pels only won 21 games last year. But the thing about it is that you can't take a team that won 21 games for whatever reason it was and run it back. I mean, changes had to be made. And we did see changes in the front office. And obviously, since Joe Dumars has taken over along with Troy Weaver, there have been changes in the roster. And look, just talking with some of my, you know, fellow compadres who work for the team and cover the team, it's really exciting for us because, look, this is going to be my 7th year with the organization as the play-by-play man. And look, there have been trades and changes to the roster here and there, but for the most part, it's been pretty consistent. And, you know, this is really the first time in my tenure that the roster is almost completely flipped. So in that instance, it's exciting for me to see how it's all going to shake out. And, you know, I hate to go back to it, but it's really going to be all about health again, because there's talent on this roster as it's presently constructed going into training camp, which is going to start in late September. So we'll see how it shakes out. But, I mean, Joe Dumars has had a plan, and he is executing that plan. And you're seeing it, and you're still seeing it yesterday with the extension of Herb Jones.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, I do want to ask you about Herb Jones a little bit, but just, you know, you mentioned all the players. Like last year, there are names that are in my brain that I will never hear from again, like a Trey Jemison and stuff like that. But then yesterday I was watching the Summer League game and Jamal Cain made a basket. Yep. And I was like, wait, Pelicans legend Jamal Cain is on the Timberwolves Summer League roster? Man, it was such a wild season in that front. But I want to ask you about the rookies, specifically Jeremiah Fears, because – you know, one of the things you can gain from Summer League is kind of get a very quick assessment of who looks ready and who looks like they have some work to do. Like, who looks confident, who looks under control. Yes, he had a few too many turnovers. I think he was trying to get a little aggressive at points, but I just thought Jeremiah Fears looked like an NBA-ready player, and it really stood out when you put him on the court with, you know, a handful of NBA players and, you know, but a majority of, you know, G League guys.
No, look, and here's the thing about Fears. He should be going into his freshman year of college. He actually went to Oklahoma a year where he would have been a senior in high school. So he's 18 years old. And for him to go out there, look, Summer League is it's a tough watch at times. Just because of the way, I mean, to me, yesterday was maddening because the game was officiated just, you know, we had 30 fouls called on us yesterday, 30 in 40 minutes. So, I mean, how much of a flow can you get into when the whistle is blowing that much? But like you said about Fears, I mean, you can just tell that he knows what he's doing. And he got sped up a couple of times. And this is the thing, too, guys. Yesterday, when you watch that team play, you've got basically four guys on the Summer League roster that have any type of NBA experience. And Lester Quinones has the most experience. He's been in the league 3 years. Ebe Meese played a bunch yesterday. Of course, he had a really solid rookie year, all rookie second team. But for the most part, you got guys who have never played in any type of NBA game before. And you know that they want to prove to their coaches and the front office and their teammates that they can play. So it's very easy to get sped up. And we saw that with Fears a little bit. We saw that a lot with Derek Queen in the first half before he settled down and played really well in the second half. But you can tell that Fears knows how to run an offense. And look, he got bumped, he got physicaled a lot, and that's something that he's going to have to deal with on a day-in and day-out basis, because the players on the other teams, too, they're going a mile a minute because they're trying to impress everybody from their side. So it's a lot of guard-driven play in the Summer League. You see a lot of hard drives to the basket. You see a lot of out-of-control drives, passes. I mean, you saw passes yesterday from both sides that, you know, they're throwing it to someone who's not there just because they haven't played with each other. They had five practices before they took off to Vegas. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're playing. You're going full speed 40 minutes. But fears again, and this is what you're going to notice, guys, the rest of this summer league, the last three games where they play, they're going to get better every game because they're going to get used to the speed. They're going to get used to the physicality. And then as that all settles down, then you're going to see these guys really start to perform the way that they're capable of. But, no, look, Fears would probably tell you that, you know, personally, he didn't have that great of a game. I thought he was solid, and he's only going to get better.
So the club's been pretty, you know, consistent, making Zion clearly the face of you know, the draft and the lottery. Yet, you know, it's they're playing the Lakers on Saturday, tomorrow. And so maybe it's just clickbait, but you Google Zion and automatically Lakers, Zion, trade. I mean, it's going to be news until it's not news anymore, which will be, you know, when the period ends. But in every fiber of your being, he's on this team this year.
I don't even know what the word would be. I could not see him not in a Pelicans uniform. I mean, he is one of those players that if you're going to win, if you're going to win consistently, that you have to have. You have to have. We saw what he is. I mean, we've seen what he's capable of doing in his career, even though the most games he's played has been 70. But to watch him a year ago at the end of the season, when he was in the best shape of his NBA career, completely dominate games. And, you know, again, the Pels weren't winning many games, but the reason that they did win games down the stretch was because of Zion Williamson. I mean, we went into Phoenix, beat them. Zion had his first career triple-double. Went into Minnesota, who, again, was playing for everything at the end of last year while the Pelicans were trying to get to 20 wins. Went into the Target Center and won that game, and Zion was the best player on the floor, and Anthony Edwards played the entire game. So that's what he is capable of doing, and it's a broken record. If he can stay healthy, it's, you know, but this offseason is so big for him. If he can come in to training camp, guys, in the shape that he was when the season ended last year, it is going to be something that you're going to have to watch every single night, because he was doing things at the end of last year that we had not seen him do in his Pelicans career in a good way.
Yeah, you know, it's a kind of a broken record talking about health, but, you know, the other guy is Herb Jones, right? I played 20 games last year. Clearly, yeah. The team felt confident committing to him. I was kind of surprised in the sense that, you know, he's got 2 years left in his deal. You'd think, oh, maybe they want to see him come back, prove he can be healthy, and then sign him to an extension. They didn't. They inked him to a three-year, I think it was $68 million extension, maybe 86. Yeah. I might have flipped those 68. Numbers around. 68. You know, what are your thoughts on that? You know, I think it's I love it because I don't have any question in my mind that Herb is the type of guy you want on your team. You know, bad luck injuries aside, like, he shot 41% from three in 2 years ago. Obviously, we didn't get to see enough from him this past year. I just think any NBA team in the modern NBA needs a 3-and-D wing exactly like that. I'm just curious where you land on that extension.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. And look, you know, the Pels were a top 10 defense three prior years. Herb Jones going down in the fourth game of the season last year did not help matters defensively for the Pelicans whatsoever. This is a first-team, all-NBA defensive player. And if you look at the numbers on the deal, you know, in today's NBA, that's a bargain for the type of player that you're getting. I mean, Devin Booker just signed for $70 million a year a couple days ago, which just I can't – look, Devin Booker, don't get me wrong, is an unbelievable basketball player. No fan base knows better what Devin Booker can do in a very short amount of time on the floor than Pelicans fans. But $70 million, but that's the way it's going in today's day and age in this league. But Herb Jones, he's just such a complete player. It's defense first, but he has shown offensively in the last couple of years that he's able, like you said, Jeff, to go out and shoot the three at a 40% clip. As a matter of fact, my favorite stat in the NBA is 50-40-90, 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90% from the free throw line, which has happened 11 times in the history of the league. It's very, very rare. And Herb Jones 2 years ago was 5 percentage points from the free throw line from being a 50-40-90 player. Throw on top of that, he's first team all defense. So yes, ecstatic that he is going to be a part of this franchise for the next 5 years. And of course, that's a guy that you build around and you feel that is your core, like Zion, like Trey Murphy and Herb Jones. So that's just a really, really good thing that the Pels were able to get him back.
Well, we look forward to listening to you and John and Aaron and seeing you in Irvine and seeing you in Metairie next week. It's the calm before the storm, and so we do appreciate you taking some time to talk to us and get us, because there's so much change for both teams.
Yes.
For both teams.
No
so
doubt.
So much change.
I look forward to seeing you in the bucket hat, Mike. That's what I'm really looking forward to seeing.
If the sun touches a piece of my skin in California, it'll be a freak accident. Let's put it that way. All right, my friend. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Jets.
Thanks, Todd.
Todd Graffinetti, play-by-play for the Pelicans, talking about Summer League and all the changes there. Got to take a quick break. We'll be back here on Sports Talk. Mike Haas and Jeff Nowak back after this on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak with you until 7 o'clock tonight. And big news, you can stream this show and WWL Time Shifted Podcast on the free Odyssey app, TuneIn, and now the iHeartRadio app. Listen to the shows you love and the local content you crave when you want, how you want, on Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. And of course, I was glancing up at the television a second ago, looking at the latest and all that's going on in Texas. WWL wants you to know how you can help our neighbors deal with the unimaginable heartbreak from the devastating and deadly floods there. Just check out WWL.com. You'll find links to the American Red Cross, the Cajun Navy, Austin Disaster Relief Network, and a whole lot more. The greatest need is the monetary donations to help with the burial expenses, mental health resources, recovery supplies, and volunteers. Please do what you can. Let's show up for Texas like they always show up for us. WWL cares. How has your summer been? That's funny. We saw each other during OTAs and mini camp. Have you gone anywhere?
I have. I went to the Cape for. Do people know what the Cape is down here?
I mean, I don't know because I've been there.
Like, I feel like if you.
It sounds like you're very rich.
If you're up in New England,
if you said I went to Cape Cod,
going to the Cape. Yeah.
That would be different than.
This is true.
I went to the Cape.
This is true. Yeah, we saw some. We watched some Cape Cod League baseball. That's always fun. Wood Bat League. You know, people get really
your
into it up there.
Your idea of vacation and my idea of vacation.
Well, it's my parents. It's my family's idea of a vacation. Okay. I was looped into it. That's kind of how it went. I've begged off of this vacation every year for the last decade, and this year my dad kind of, he gave me the puppy dog eyes and asked if I could go. So I went. It was a good time. You know, it's a lot of sun, but it never gets. It's cool up there.
Yes,
like that's
I've been. That's
I will
beautiful. It
always
is beautiful.
Co-sign a July vacation where it doesn't get above 85 degrees. Although if you're watching Wimbledon, apparently that's too hot.
Yes.
I was watching
the fans falling out.
Well, I was watching the match this morning and it was Taylor Fritz and Carlos Alcaraz, and like at least three times within a set and a half, they had to like pause play as someone was taken out because they were like collapsing. And it is kind of fascinating. And you know, you give them a hard time. John McEnroe did point out, you know, These guys are, like, you're not allowed to go there in shorts and a t-shirt at Wimbledon. Like, you're dressed to the nines. So, it to be fair, sitting in 87 degrees direct sunlight in a three-piece suit, you probably are going to sweat a good bit.
No breeze because of the stadium.
But there was a point where I was watching the broadcast, and it had the temperature on there. And after, like, two people collapsed, they took the temperature down. Because I'm sure people were screenshotting it and being like, these. Right.
You're culpable. Yeah. We're going to get sued. Take that temperature down.
Right. Because it probably, like, the feels like temperature was probably a lot hotter. And they just can't handle it. They can't hang. They're not from the south of the U.S. It doesn't get hot over there. They don't have air conditioning anyway.
Well, I've talked to people who went to Washington, D.C., outside of where I'm from, and another that was up in New York for some baseball. And it was brutally hot. Right, and it does get, man. Washington and New York can get oppressively hot in the summer, but it doesn't stay for 3 months. It's not a 4 month thing like here, May to September. It will eventually break. You just happen to pick a tough month. So the Saints, as we talked about, do begin on Wednesday, July 23rd. I think Alvin's birthday is the 25th. He's usually how I count camp. When Alvin's birthday, it comes around, I know it's camp time, and it's...
Does he know that? Have you told him that?
No.
You should let him know.
Yeah. I think he knows he's 30, right? He's going to be 30?
That does sound correct.
Yes. So I'm pretty sure he knows.
Which is like 93 for a running back.
He's probably not going to ask me about my birthday in August. And so, he knows I know. He knows I don't want to hear that number. But it's just always been, for whatever reason, it's always around that time, and even a little earlier this year. So they go, man, it's hard in New Orleans with the open practices and then the travel to California. I guess when this first happened and the schedule came out, I just automatically assumed there'd be
joint practices.
A joint practice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did we get like a response or why it wasn't a good idea, or maybe they've just been through, I don't know. It felt like that was the reason.
It seems like a lot. It seems like a heavy investment to make without a joint practice involved, right? And part of it maybe is just, hey, we're going to practice hard in the sun for 2 weeks. We're going to have a lot of open practices, so there won't be opportunities to go inside. And the reward for that is going out to Irvine and practicing in the most forgiving temperatures you could possibly find. I don't think that there's any team or NFL regulation that would prevent them from doing it. Maybe it just doesn't work. But hey, I'd rather not have practices at all than have scheduled practices that get canceled. I think that threw so much of even the Saints like practice schedule into flux. Like, they didn't want to be out there practice. Like, they were staying out there for that extra week for those joint practices. And when they didn't happen, I felt like it just kind of threw everything out of whack. Like, I felt like the Irvine experience on both the being there side and the practice side was going very well, and then it kind of went haywire at the end.
But I feel, I know the Niners situation, but post Arizona, the Saints had 20, how many injured players do the Saints have at that point?
A lot.
I mean, a lot. I felt like it was kind of...
My conspiracy brain is like, some of these guys just wanted to go home early. Like, that's...
But they didn't, did they?
A couple of them did. We're not seeing again. But, and Alvin, maybe he wanted to, get a late birthday party. I don't know. It was odd. And it just felt like everyone was kind of checked out.
It was deflated.
And it wasn't a good... Like, I don't think that helped them. I think the early few weeks of camp in Irvine helped them from the perspective. They got a lot of great work in. I felt like the last week kind of set them back a little bit. And maybe I'm wrong. There's no energy at all.
And it was tough.
I think a 10-day stretch with a game in the middle, like, you're not going to have that lull the way that you did last year.
And that's the weird part about it is that
you're not going home after the game.
You don't go home after the Chargers game.
Right.
You go back to the hotel like, oh, wait. And then you cut for 3 or 4 more days. So.
And then the next game is like a road game because you're traveling to it.
That's right. Home game, coming home for the Jaguars. Jaguars for noon. Noon kickoff.
Are you in Jaguars or Jaguars?
Jaguars. Yeah, I don't like to say it.
In that word.
No. Take a break. Jeff Nowak, Mike Koss with you until 7 o'clock tonight here on this summer fill-in sports talk. Back after this, here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak with you until 7 o'clock tonight. In the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk college baseball, D1 baseball, college scout David Seifert. We'll talk about the Major League Draft preview. And
starts on Sunday.
I prepared as much as I can prepare. I grew up in Washington, outside of Washington, D.C. So the Washington Senators were our team.
Okay.
We'd lost them twice, right? So I never became a Minnesota Twins fan, but I was a Texas Rangers fan for years and years in Washington because the Senators became Texas. But I don't have the bandwidth. If you ask me, I don't even write. If we get into the actual Major League Baseball, I have to cut my mic.
College baseball is tough.
I love college baseball.
It's tough to keep, like, the MLB draft is really hard to kind of weigh. It's hard to wrap your hands around because there's just so much going into it with all the high school players and the college players. And, like, you draft a guy and he could say no. You know,
right.
like that's, it's just such a strange thing. I do want to mention, LSU baseball adjacent, Alex Bregman coming back tonight. Going to be at third base for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, he's signed a three-year deal, $120 million.
He's been out for like 2 months with a quad injury. But he still made the All-Star game. He's not going to play in it because he's that much of a team player. He's going to play for the team but not play during the All-Star game. But he is back tonight.
Love it. Love it. We'll have more coming up. The news is next. Keep it right here. This is Sports Talk on WWLAMFM.com, always on the Odyssey app.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.